All right, take your Bibles, please, this morning, and turn with me to page one. Page one in your Bible. Genesis chapter one. Back probably the middle of March, I was just reading Genesis for my own edification, not looking for anything to preach on. And while I was reading the Bible, this thought came to mind, and so I prepared the message. It was on a Tuesday morning when I did this, and my intent was to preach it the next Sunday, but then I try to stay, you know, a couple of sermons up so that I don't have to pull an all-nighter on a Saturday. I'm too old to do that now, and I can't do that now. It's impossible. About 9:30 at night, I start turning into a pumpkin every night about 9:30. And so I try to stay a couple of sermons ahead in case there's an emergency or something happens and I don't want to come in here unprepared. So, but then about Thursday of that week, the Lord changed my thinking and my direction, and I just put the sermon off to the side, and it's been sitting there now for months, and I had a sermon that I was going to preach this morning that I prepared this week, and the Lord just did not give me peace about that, and so I pulled this one off the corner of the desk and went over it. When I did, had peace in my heart that this is what I'm supposed to preach to you this morning. It's a little different than what I normally do on a Sunday. This is kind of more like a Wednesday night Bible study than it is a Sunday morning sermon. But nonetheless, it's what the Lord wants, and so that's what we're going to do. If you will look at Genesis 1, and if you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. You may feel free to use that. But the very first words in the Bible, we read this: in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I want to preach to you this morning a message that I've entitled, In the Beginning. In the Beginning. And I want to read a few verses here, but I want us to kind of go back to really some foundational things this morning. The first chapter of Genesis lays the foundation for the rest of the Bible. And you know, a lot of people stumble at the first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. A lot of people stumble over that. If you cannot handle that, then that explains why you can't handle the rest of the Bible. But if you'll get the first part of this, if you'll get the foundation, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, then the rest of it will fall into place for you. But let's read on. It says in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. It was empty. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, now I want you to notice that. And God said, God spoke. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And by the way, we still call it that today. Strange, isn't it? God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, in Israel today, even today, and they've always done this, but in Israel today, they start their day at 6 o'clock in the evening. Our day starts at midnight. At 1 minute after 12, you're in the next day. 1 minute before 12, you're still in the same day. You with me on that? But then as soon as it gets 12:01, you're in tomorrow. Now, the Jews still today do not do it that way. Their day starts at 6 o'clock in the evening. At 6 o'clock in the evening, or 6:01 in the evening, it's the next day. The evening and the morning were the first day. And that's that you need to keep in mind. As you read the Bible, it will help you to understand. For example, the Bible says that Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the grave. All right, now think about that. How do you get 3 days and three nights if there is such a thing as a Good Friday? If Jesus was crucified on Friday, how do you get 3 days and three nights with a Sunday resurrection? And there's no doubt that he was resurrected on Sunday. You say, well, I always heard, I know. But we ought to read the Bible. It'll help you tremendously. Now, Christ was crucified on a Wednesday, put in the grave before 6 o'clock on Wednesday. So 6 o'clock, 3 days and three nights. 6 o'clock Wednesday to 6 o'clock Thursday, that's one day. Thursday to Friday, that's 2 days. Friday to Saturday, 6 o'clock, that's 3 days. And if you are Jewish, 6:01, it's no longer Saturday, the Sabbath. It's Sunday, the first day of the week. And so Christ was 3 days and three nights in the ground, just exactly as the Bible said. You say, well, that's simple. I know. It is, isn't it? But that's God. All right, look at verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, I'm not going to read all of this, but I will ask you to turn over to verse 26 and let me read the sixth day. In verse 26, it says, and God said, notice, God said, again, God said, let us, plural, us, make man in our, plural, image. You say, who's he talking to here? Well, this is God the Father talking to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. This is a conversation among the Godhead. And God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. Notice that. God created man. Man did not evolve. Man was created. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, I want to speak to you this morning, a message that I've entitled, In the Beginning. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us, and you keep your Bible open and then the message. Our Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. And Lord, the answers are here for all the questions that that men have, the answers are right here in the Bible. It's a shame that we don't read the Bible, we'd know the answers. But I pray that you will help us this morning as we look at this chapter. I pray that, Lord, you will help us to see your truth, your word, and may we grow and may we be encouraged. And Father, if there's someone here today that does not know the Lord as their personal Savior, may they realize their need of the Savior this morning. Help us, Father. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will do his office work and do what I cannot do, and that is, Lord, convict hearts and draw all men to your side. So, Lord, bless us today, and I pray that we'll give our undivided attention to what is about to be spoken, and Lord, may you be honored in it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, before I get started here, is anybody running that camera up there? All right, I'm going to be moving. Buck, wake up there, okay? No sleeping up there. And I'm going to be moving around a little bit this morning, so you'll be watching me. One of our men was had it in the early service, and I don't know if y'all have noticed, but since we started sending these things all over the world live on the internet, I've tried to stay put because they don't know when I'm going to move. And Mike was sitting back there, and he looked at the screen. It was empty. And he thought the rapture had happened and that he got a little nervous. But nonetheless, I will be moving, Buck, so keep a watch out up here. All right, if you compare what I just read for you out of Genesis chapter 1 with what is being taught today in public schools and in colleges and universities across this land, if you compare what I just read to you out of the Bible with what fills the airwaves on television and with what fills textbooks that are being taught in our schools, you might feel like you have passed from some beautiful scene in nature in Genesis into a factory with all the machinery running full blast. That's the difference between what is being taught here in the Bible and what the world teaches as the answer to where we all came from. The difference between the two, between creation by God's divine fiat and evolution, is so stark, they are so far apart from each other. It is obvious that the two scenes have nothing in common. I have said for years, and I believe it with every fiber of my being, that it takes a whole lot more faith to believe in creation by evolution, by the evolutionary process, than it does to believe that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Evolution was an invention of ungodly men who were attempting to explain the universe apart from God. Please understand that. Evolution was the invention of ungodly men who were attempting to explain the universe apart from God. If they could just explain us without God, that would solve the problem of God, and that would relieve the guilt that men have because of sin. And that's where evolution came from. It came from a desire to get God out of our thinking and God out of our lives. If I can dismiss God, then I don't have to answer to that God. And that's what was behind it. You hear them say, 400 million years ago. Oh, please. 400 million years. And then the next guy, 425 million years ago. And then the next guy comes along, 460 million years ago. And you were there? How do you know that it was 400 million years ago? How do you know that it was 460 million years ago? Who told you that? And I asked that question one time to a supposed authority on the subject, and the answer I got was, this is all calculated with an algorithm. And I said, what's an algorithm? I knew what it was, but I said, what's an algorithm? And he looked at me and he said, well, you know. And I said, no, tell me. He said, well, you know, it's science. And I smiled and I said, yeah, it's a theory. You are advancing a theory. I remember being in the eighth grade. Mrs. Morris was our teacher for eighth grade science. And Mrs. Morris taught class with an open Bible on her desk. She would read to us out of the Psalms or out of Proverbs every Monday morning when we went to science class. She was not ashamed of her faith in the Lord. And the first day, she passed out the science textbooks that we were going to use that year. And she had us all turn to chapter 1. And when we did, the title, I can see it now on the right-hand side, was chapter 1, The Theory of Evolution. And she said, now I want all of you to take a pen, and I want you to underline severely the word theory. You can put a circle around it. You can put a star beside it. Do anything you want to do, but just the word theory, because that is all this chapter is, a theory. Anyone, she said, anyone with any sense knows that God created us and our universe. And then she went on and told us that she was ordered that she had to teach the theory of evolution in science class, and that that was the first time she was ordered to teach it. I was in the eighth grade. And she taught that chapter tongue in cheek, mocking every opportunity she got, ridiculing the unbelievable numbers that continued to change from paragraph to paragraph in that chapter. Now, folks, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it until I cannot speak anymore. The Big Bang did not happen in the beginning. The Big Bang is going to happen at the end. That's what the Bible says. Listen to Peter. He said in 2 Peter chapter 3, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. That's a big bang. It did not happen at the beginning like the evolutionist will have you to believe. It is coming. God says so in His Word. The elements shall pass away with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, folks, can you imagine if Moses, the author of the book of Genesis, can you imagine if Moses had taken this first chapter of the Bible and had written this whole Big Bang, primordial ooze, 400 million years in the making until we are here today thinking, talking, reasoning human beings? What do you think would have been the reception of that among the Jews and among the world? Moses would have been laughed off the face of the planet. People would have said, what? Are you kidding me? You need help, Moses. You've got to lay off that pizza with onions before you go to bed each night. Now listen to me, folks. Moses was not there when God created the universe. But God was. God was there. And so God told Moses how He did it and how we all came into existence. None of us were there, so God illuminated Moses and revealed to him through divine inspiration how he did it all. Now, let me just stop right here and say to you, National Geographic wasn't there either. And neither was the Discovery Channel or the Science Channel or the History Channel. None of them were there. So every time you have one of these channels on, and they speak of millions of years ago, or millions of years this happened, and millions of years ago that happened, every time you hear them say that with such absolute authority, they are lying to you. None of them were there. And they have no idea what they're talking about. It's nothing more than the world's attempt to explain things without God. You say, well, if Moses wasn't there, how did he know? He knew because God told him. God was there. Now, folks, listen, you've got one of two options. You can either believe what God says, or you can believe what man says. And God says that in the beginning, he created the heaven and the earth. God says he, on the sixth day, created man. Male and female created he them. That's where faith comes in. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 6, he said, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. You say, well, I just can't believe that God created everything. Well, my friend, until you get that foundation squared away, until you get it right, you're going to have trouble with everything in the Bible. But whose word are you going to take? Man's or God's? Man wasn't there. God was. And God told us right here in his book where we came from. Now, the question is, in this revelation that we have in Genesis 1, what was God revealing to us when he illuminated the heart of Moses to pen this record of what happened in the beginning? There are, in this chapter, some very dogmatic statements of truth that we need to see clearly, and we need to understand clearly, especially in light of what the world is trying to convince us of today. What does God say? What does the world say? Let's look at three of these very certain, very dogmatic statements of truth that are revealed in this chapter. Number one, I want you to see, first of all, that Genesis 1 is teaching us that God is the creator of all that is. God created it all. It does not get any more clear than verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. At the foundation of all that is the existence of Almighty God. And you will notice that verse 3 says, he spoke. God said, God spoke, and the world came into existence. Folks, I submit to you that everything that God did, he did by his word. By his word. Everything God did was by his word. If you look at verses 1 to 3, you will see that it says in verse 3, and God said, and it was so. When God spoke it, it happened. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to your pastor this morning. If I had no knowledge of God, and I had no knowledge of the Bible, and then someone came and put a Bible in my hands, and I would naturally open it to the first page and I would begin to read the Bible. And I want you to notice that if that happened, I have not read 3 verses of the Bible before I am confronted with the fact that God spoke. How else would we know what God demands of us, and how else would we know God unless He spoke to us and informed us? And ladies and gentlemen, right here is what God spoke. We have His Word. This book is not all that God knows, but it's everything that God knows we need to know. And we need to know where we came from. And so right in the very beginning, God says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God tells us where we came from. He made us. John said it this way in his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In other words, God did it all. Every bit of it. Now, if you wish to believe all of this millions of years of man evolving from a single cell as it crawled out of the primordial ooze, and then it sprouted an eyeball, and then it sprouted over millions of years an arm, and then it got another arm, and then one day it got a leg, and then another leg, and then it crawled around, and then it got on all fours, and one day it got hungry, and it stood up, pulled an apple off a tree, and then started walking around, and then it put on clothes and got a job as a desk clerk. If you want to believe that, my friend, I'm telling you, you've got more faith than you realize. You see, our problem today is we have forgotten the fundamental truth of our Creator. We have forgotten God. And if we can explain our existence apart from God, then we can forget God. If we forget Him, then we can become our own God, and we can do what we want to do. And that's exactly what's happening in our country today. It started back with getting the devil persuading us as a country to get God out of our homes. We got God out of our homes, and then these liberals came in and took God out of our churches. You go back 100 years ago, folks, it doesn't make any difference where you went to church, you heard the gospel. Oh, there might have been a few differences here and there with how you baptize or how you become a member of the church, or whether you have deacons or elders, or whether the preacher should wear a robe while he's preaching or whether he shouldn't. I mean, there were always those little differences. But back 100 years ago, it didn't make any difference what brand of church you went into, somebody stood up and preached the gospel. But all of a sudden that began to change, didn't it? Why? Why? Because of liberalism. And you had a bunch of liberals come into these denominational churches, and they discredited God, and they discredited the Bible. And they started denying the virgin birth. And they started denying the resurrection. And the next thing you know, you've got a church sitting there that has no idea what it believes. In the 60s, Mad Madeline Murray O'Hare sued to get the Bible out of the public school. And she won. And it was easy to get it out of the public school because it had already gotten out of our homes and our churches. And now we're seeing the second generation raised without the Bible as a guide for education. And what do you get? You get evolution. Let's get God out of the picture. And that's what the devil wants. Just get God out of everything. Get God out of people's lives. And once you get God, I mean, here's what they did. They said, we're going to put you over there. Now you stay over there. We're going to do it ourselves. And they came up with this 400 million years and of evolution, and this 400 years of 400 million years of man evolving to where we are today in our society. Shameful. And our problem is we have forgotten the fundamental truth of our Creator. I want you to look at chapter 1. Look at verse 26. Let me show you something. It says, and God said, let us. That's plural. You say, who's us? Watch me. Father, Son, and Spirit. This is a conversation among the Godhead. Let us make man in our image. Amazing. God is three, yet one. He is Father, Son, and Spirit. These three are one. And God made us in His image. Man, all men, you are three, yet one. You are body, you are soul, and you are spirit. You are three, yet one. Let us make man in our image. What does that mean? It means a lot of things. God loves. God gave us the ability to love. God gives. He gave us the ability to give. God thinks. He gave us the ability to think. God reasons. He gave us the ability to reason. He made us in the image of His dear Son. Amazing. But look at it. Back to the verse. He said, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. So what our world has been trying to do for the last 200 years is try to get God out of our lives. Why? So that man can be his own God. And folks, they've succeeded. And that's the reason why now two men can get married. We've abandoned God. We have abandoned God's pattern for the home. God created the home. One man and one woman. Period. But now, now that we've got God out of the way, we can write our own laws and we can say, oh no, two men can get married now. Two women can get married now. Folks, just let me put your mind at ease. It will be a cold day before there will ever be a homosexual marriage in this church. They can put me under the jail. I will not, under any circumstances, do it. And if we lose our tax exemption over it, so be it. So be it. But I am not going to violate the Word of God. This is why we can abort over 55 million babies since Roe versus Wade. You know what that is? Murder. Murder. With a capital M. We just write our own laws. And that's what, that explains us. That explains us. You see, if we can explain our existence apart from God, then we can forget God. And if we forget God, then we can become our own God and we can just do what we want to do. And that's where we are in America today. Folks, that is why the Scriptures warns us about forgetting our Creator. In 1 Peter 4:19, Peter said, that it is unto God as our Creator that we are to commit the keeping of our souls in well-being. Who are we to remember in the youth, in the early days of our lives? What Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I mean, how are we to know that God will not somehow overlook us with all the billions of people on the planet today? Well, it's in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28 says, He is the Creator of the ends of the earth who fainteth not and is not weary. Folks, we're supposed to remember that God created us. You see, God has given us this wonderful universe and has created it for us to enjoy. And you know, when we get a present from someone who loves us, it's precious. But if that person who loves us gives us something that they made themselves with their own hand, well, it becomes doubly precious to us. And God has given us this wonderful universe with its sun and its moon and its stars and its planets and its hills and its mountains and its lakes and its rivers and valleys and flowers and trees. And the joy we get from it is increased 1,000-fold when we learn, know, and understand that it was made by God's own hand for each and every one of us to enjoy. So if we could only believe what God says and not what the unbelieving world teaches, and if we would accept the fact that God tells us that He is our Creator, we would all be much better off. There's a second thing that is taught here. Number two, we see that God took 1 week to create it all. 1 week. You know, it's clear as we read the Bible that God is a God of order. I mean, where do you think we got this whole concept of a 7-day week to begin with? The Bible. It came from God Himself. Now, you contrast that with today's modern thinker with his millions and millions of evolutionary years. God is very basic. God is very simple. He is a God of order. When we look at the Lord Jesus and we look at His methods, we notice how He gradually revealed truth when He was here. He didn't gather the disciples together on the first day and just dump the whole load on the disciples, but slowly, over a 3.5-year period, gradually, step by step, He led them in the truth of why He came and what He was here to do. He said to them very early in His ministry, if you remember, He said, I have many things to say unto you, but you can't handle them right now. Why? Because that's what He does. He reveals gradually. Now, where do you think God the Son acquired this method of teaching? Was it not His method the same as the method of the Father? I mean, if you were just making up the story of creation, would you have thought to stretch it out over a week's time? One might think that the whole universe, the solar system, the stars, the planets, the earth, the moon, the animals, fish, birds, man, the beasts, you'd think that they would have all been created on the same day. No, that's not the way God did it. He did it by order and design. It took 7 days. Just like it took God the Son, the Lord Jesus, time to accomplish our redemption and to convince the apostles, creation took time as is the method of God Almighty. It took 7 days. 7 days. And 7 days means 7 days. The first time I ever went to Israel in 1990, I had a bunch of questions I had written down on a note card, and I wanted to ask somebody that lived over there some questions. And because I don't know Hebrew. I wish I did, but I don't. And so we got over there, and I got alone with the guide, and I said, I got a couple questions I want to ask you. Can you answer them? He said, I'll try. I said, you speak Hebrew? He said, well, of course I do. It's my native tongue. I said, all right, I got a couple questions. And so I got my Bible. I turned to Genesis 1, and I said, this word day, I said, is there any way this is anything other than a 24-hour day? He looked at me like I had two heads. And he said, well, of course not. That's a 24-hour day. It says day. I said, I know it says day. I'm asking you in Hebrew, is there any way you can twist it around to make it mean more than just a 24-hour period? He said, no, means day. I said, okay, I believe that, but I'm just making sure. Just want some ammunition. But here's how we think. If we can get God out of the way, we come up with our own design. And so here's what they did. About 170 years ago, a bunch of liberals came up with this thing called the gap theory. You ever heard of that? The gap theory is this. Now, they didn't want to just completely abandon, I'm moving, Buck. They didn't want to just completely abandon the Bible. So what they did was they said, okay, we'll go with Genesis day one. But then there were millions of years in between day one and what God did on day two. There's a gap. You with me? Sometimes they call that theistic evolution. Theistic meaning God, but evolution meaning it evolved over time. God was in on it, but it just took time. And so they came up with this gap theory where over 400 million years, eventually, we came to where we are today. Now, why did they do that? I tell you why. Because they had a bunch of spineless preachers who would not stand up for the Word of God and say, fooey on all that ridiculous garbage. It's not right. God tells us the plan. God says what happens. And God said, 7 days, and 7 days is 7 days. Period. Period. So 7 days is literally 7 days. It is time, folks, that we get back to believing God and what God says in His infallible Word. I am not ashamed to say that I believe the biblical account of creation, and neither should any of you be ashamed of it. It is the Word of God, and God says in Romans chapter 3, let God be true and every man a liar. Third thing I want you to see. God shows us, number three, that man is God's masterpiece. In this creation story, we can see that man is God's masterpiece. We read that man was created on day six, and that afterward God rested on the seventh day. In other words, man was created last. Just like the marriage feast in Cana, the best wine was kept until last. How was man the greatest work of all? How was man the greatest work of all that God did that week? What do I mean by that? Well, it is because man was the only thing God created out of all that He created in His image. We're it. Man is it. We were created in His image so that we would be able to fellowship with Him. The animals can't do that. You're never going to be driving down the road, look over in a field and see a herd of deer over there sitting around with an open Bible having a Bible study. You're never going to be driving through West Virginia and look over on the side of a hill and see a couple of black bears over there on their knees with their front paws folded praying to God. The animals don't do that. No. But man has that capability. The birds of the air can't do that. Only man can fellowship with God. Man was given life through the breath of God. Man was made by God as an eternal being. You say, but Pastor, we are born and we live and we die. Yes, the body dies, but don't forget, God created us in His image, body, soul, and spirit. And in Genesis 2, when it's explaining how we came into existence, it says, and God breathed into man, and Adam became a living soul. Living. Ever living. Eternal. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say it this way, you must live somewhere forever. Have you ever thought about that, dear friend? You say, well, I'm going to die one of these days. Your body is going to die. And the reason it is because it's cursed by sin. And you inherited that sin from your parents. You can thank them for that. And several children just looked over at their parents and said, thanks. But your soul will never die. And you must live somewhere forever. Now let me ask you a question. Don't you think God knew this? When Adam sinned and became a sinner, immediately God came and promised a redeemer. He promised that He would send Himself in the form of His Son. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus left the throne of heaven, came to this earth as one of us, so He would understand what we're dealing with. And He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see, when God came to dwell among us to provide atonement for our sin, He came as a man. He didn't come as a horse. He didn't come as a sacred cow. He didn't come as a phoenix. He didn't come as a centaur. He came as a man. He didn't come as a dog or a cat or a lion or a tiger. God became flesh so that He could die for flesh. Because we are the greatest work that He performed during that creation week. And amazingly, folks, when Jesus came, He made it very clear that He came to die for all men. That means He died for you. So the only way that you're going to get eternal life for your soul is to trust Him and His finished work at Calvary to pay the penalty you owe for your sin. The wages of sin is what? And Jesus went to the cross and died. He didn't know any sin. He was not a sinner. He had no sin. But yet He died. Strange, huh? Why did He do that? He willingly died to pay your wages. The wages of sin is death. He was not paying His own. He was paying mine and yours. I just thought it might be important that we go back to the foundation this morning. I just thought maybe we ought to look at this simple explanation from God Himself and as to how we got here. Because there's an awful lot of people today that are losing their minds over this matter and trying to get rid of God. Let me show you one little simple illustration. I'll close. I know it's time to go. I have right here a watch. This is a this was a gift. Somebody gave me this gift. It's a Movado watch. It's expensive. I would never have spent the money to buy this watch. That's just way too much for a watch. But a guy gave it to me, and so I gladly wear it. It's a beautiful watch. Let's suppose that I could take this watch completely apart. I take the band off. I take all the little links out of the band. I take the latch apart. I take the stem out. I take the face off. I take the back off and then pull all those little cogs and all those little wheels and all those little things. I just take it completely apart. This watch completely disassembled. And I take the disassembled watch, all the pieces, and I lay them right here on this pulpit. And then I get me a coffee can and I scrape all of the ingredients that make up this watch into that coffee can. I then take my pen, stick it down in that can, and start stirring the ingredients that are in that can, which were this watch. And I stir, and I stir, and I stir. Let me ask you, how many kabillions of years am I going to have to stand there and spin that with my pen until one day, finally, eventually, poof, a Movado watch pops out in perfect working order? You say, preacher, that'll never happen. Bingo. Probably shouldn't say bingo in church, but bingo. And I want to serve notice on you, folks. The human body is 10,000 times more complicated than this watch. And you mean to tell me that you believe that over millions of years, here we are today? Whew, man, you got a lot of faith. It's just a shame your faith's in the wrong place. Why don't you put your faith in an omnipotent God who spoke and the world came into existence in the beginning?